Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Grassroots Barbecue on CannabisRadio.com continues, but first let's go and talk about the Buzz CRM. It's your all-in-one solution with over 500 tools to manage every aspect of your marketing. Talk about AI handling your email, social media, customer inquiries 24/7. You also have with us a unique missed call text back feature. We streamline your processes with nurturing leads and customizing automation. Omnichannel reach, where you can connect with customers across SMS, email, social media, more. And we can help you track your success with a great listing of detailed analytics and reporting. The Buzz CRM stopped juggling multiple marketing tools and ditched those expensive subscriptions with all-in-one, one subscription, one plan. Get everything that you need. It doesn't matter what size business and what business it is. The Buzz CRM is your marketing leader. So go ahead and learn more about the Buzz CRM. TheBuzzCRM.com. TheBuzzCRM.com. And as we're recording today, we are days away from the general election for president. And also in the state of Florida, we have Amendment 3, which would be allowing the state of Florida, by majority of the voters, they'll be able to go and vote to expand the cannabis program from medical to adult use or recreational, however you'd like to put it. And here, back with me once again, is... And once again, I want to go and welcome back the chair of Ackerman. Wait a minute. Is Ackerman Regulated Substances Practice, correct, still, or no?
Ackerman, yeah.
Okay.
Or you could just say our cannabis practice group. Ackerman okay. Here.
And once again, here to talk to me about the eventual passage of Amendment 3, which I totally would put, go ahead and put my money on right now, that will happen. I've already voted for it myself for it, full disclosure. I'm here with the chair of Ackerman's Cannabis Practice, Jonathan Robbins. Once again, thanks for being with us.
Sure. It's my pleasure, Brasco.
So we're back once again at this, and I want to go and take away from the Daily Business Review that has talked about this. And man, it's for years we've been going at this. We already know that the Smart and Safe Florida campaign, which we talked about previously, and the petitioning, right. I think the last time we did talk about that before the Supreme Court, we were waiting for them to go ahead and approve the petition this time around, which had the proper language that the 2020 petition did not have, which was the one hang up that we had from last time around. That got taken care of. It made it through the Supreme Court, and it made it onto the ballot for Florida voters to go and vote on. So now we're here. Like I said, I am under the good assumption, and I feel confident that Amendment 3 will pass. I think it's because Smart State Florida has done quite a good job in the campaigning right now, the advertising of this. There has not been a lot of blowback. I mean, Governor DeSantis is and made some comments about this to the contrary, about moving forward with adult use. But other than that, I have not heard much. Talk to me about where we are right now. As we are days away from the vote, assuming the vote will go ahead and pass, where do you see things are right now on the success of this amendment going through?
Sure. It is an interesting dynamic because there, obviously, as you and I had talked about in the past, the support for Amendment 3 or the PRO campaign is very, very well funded, mostly by the existing medical marijuana treatment centers or licensees in the state of Florida, primarily Trulieve, which is the biggest operator in the state that has quite a bit of money into it. The opposition, mostly led by Governor DeSantis, who's been very vocal about it, hasn't raised nearly as much money, but they have committed a lot to television campaigns and candidly, if you ask me, some of them are a bit misleading. But I do. I share your optimism, Brasco. We do need 60% for this to actually pass, because it's an amendment to our constitution in the state of Florida, which means that we need a supermajority of 60%. But it's polling very, very well nationally. Obviously, nationally, the people in the states other than Florida aren't going to be voting for it. But nationally, I would say the trend towards adult use or recreational use of cannabis is heading in the right direction. Well, the right direction, depending upon how you look at it. But in my view, the direction towards adult use.
So when you look at where we have come from 2016, when Amendment 2 was passed, that qualified patients to access medical cannabis. Obviously, Florida right away became one of the largest medical marijuana markets in the country. 850,000 active patients overseen by the Office of Medical Marijuana Use, strictly regulated. When you look at who owns this, you have the licensing and a lot of vertically integrated companies that are in here. When you're looking at Florida specifically, we see that it's a lot of multi-DC operators that have taken control of what was really 22 open licenses, and now eventually could be up to 50. But again, a significant small amount of licenses out there. We're not talking about a lot of grassroots or small mom-and-pop firms. These are all, we're talking about Trulieve, Surterra, Curaleaf. We know the Planet 13 is coming into the market. But again, it's all major corporate multi-state operators that can basically control all the licenses. And they've already been in place. All they're looking for is now this adult use, which will allow them to yield more for themselves and make more money and allow more customers to go ahead and buy their products. And at the same time, the tax impact for the state of Florida and the medical cannabis market is around about $2 billion annually. And we know that it would triple within a few years once adult use legalization is in place. So when you look at what we have as the market has matured to be ready for this 2024 amendment vote, I mean, what do you think about what the industry has done here in Florida and how it's been? Do you feel like we've had a lot of responsible companies that have come in to give enough reason for voters to go ahead and say yes on Amendment 3?
It's a good question, and I would say yes. So as you correctly pointed out, Brasco, the industry in Florida is dominated for the most part by multi-state operators. And the reason for that is not simply because, you know, less well-backed entities don't want to be in the state of Florida, right, but rather the regulatory system that they set up in the state, which requires full vertical integration and requires a balance sheet if you're applying for a license with at least 2 years worth of the ability to sustain operations, means that you have to be very, very well funded to operate or possibly or even apply to operate in the state of Florida. We have 22, really 25 licenses that have been issued. There were supposed to be another 22 licenses issued in July. We took several clients through that application process back in April, and they're still waiting to hear from the state. So presumably, if the state does what it's supposed to do with respect to those additional licensees, if Amendment 3 passes, you're going to have 50 multi-state, fully vertically integrated entities that are ready to service the state. Getting back to your earlier question, I think that they have been very adept and they're very agile, and they can absolutely get themselves into a position to be able to serve perhaps the tourism industry, which would benefit obviously from the adult use of cannabis in the state of Florida. They'll be ready. The real question is, what is Florida going to let people do? The amendment, and if you look at the ad campaigns that are against Amendment 3, they don't tend to tell you this, but the amendment leaves it to the legislature to craft regulations to make sure that cannabis or marijuana is consumed and sold and manufactured and tested responsibly. And that's not going to change. Public consumption will not be prohibited. Will not be allowed. And so we will be ready to jump in if and when that happens. However, like I said, the amendment itself leaves to the legislature the right to craft proposed regulations to regulate the market. And we don't know what those regulations are going to look like. So, for example, will there be caps on the percentage of THC that's allowed in flower? Will there be possession limits? Will there be purchase limits? And what are the taxes going to look like? These are all things that we can't answer, but what we can answer and what we can say confidently is that if Amendment 3 passes, and I do feel good about it, it will be a very significant tax benefit to the state of Florida. Preliminary estimates that I'm hearing are anywhere from $150 million up to $500 million a year in tax revenue that could theoretically be used towards education and a variety of other things. This is something that the campaign against Amendment 3 has been really silent about.
Yeah. So what we're looking at right now is that once we get to this point, the lawyers like yourself, and I'm taking from a story from the Daily Business Review at law.com, they talk about the fact that right now what will happen is that these medical marijuana treatment centers, which are the business model that's being used right now by these multi-state operators, they're going to have to lobby, persuade, and engage their personnel on the ground to perform some bill language that they'll want to see. So they, when they get forward, once the amendment passes, legislature is going to have to go through and go through this. And the word is said to be cumbersome as to try to get this all across. So when you get to this point, 25 licensed medical marijuana treatment centers, one thing that they're also talking about here is that, and I make this point as well, with Florida, which is a difference from other markets, we're not developed in terms of social equity. We're not, you know, dealing with provisions with supporting minority-owned businesses, legacy operators, transitioning to the legal market. We're not doing any of that. That's all been, it's very much what a state like Florida would do, much like a state like Ohio probably would do. It's what's going to happen. It's like they're not really going into anything where it's not a progressive state, let's just put it like that, in terms of what they're going to do. So, like, when you look at this now, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of attorneys that are on the side here that will help to go ahead and bring this forward. And, of course, there are donors that are probably pushing up against Governor DeSantis to go ahead and push back on this. But, right. I mean, eventually, this is a fight that you think it's going to take a long time. Will this get drawn out once implementation for adult use comes into play?
I anticipate, because history tells us that litigation is going to definitely gum up the works. But, you know, if you read the proposed constitutional amendment, the way that it's written, and I think it was intentionally written that way, is that it arguably should be self-executing within 6 months. In other words, 6 months after its passage, the existing licensees, the Trulieves, Curaleaves, Verano's of the world, would theoretically be able to start, selling under the existing regulations. However, I've been practicing law down here since 1993, and I've been specifically involved in the cannabis space since 2014. And I could tell you from personal experience that there is going to be lots of litigation. Will that end up delaying the program or just sort of changing the complexion of the program initially? We don't know. So the answer is that there are a lot of question marks out there. But, you know, the goal of the drafters of the amendment was to sort of make it a seamless type of transition where effectively you can have people that are going to go into the stores in 6 months, even if they're not Florida residents, and purchase cannabis, which they would be able to enjoy, and, you know, not in public. How it's going to play out is anybody's guess. But litigation is, you can be rest assured. And one other thing that you didn't mention that's probably worth mentioning is it's not only the sort of headbutting between DeSantis and the cannabis industry in Florida, because DeSantis has been very vocal about his opposition, but it's also the hemp industry versus the marijuana industry in Florida, because our governor has pitted them against one another. In other words, he has pretty much sent an ultimatum to the hemp industry in Florida saying, hey, I am not going to veto a bill that the legislature passed that would outlaw all of these intoxicating cannabinoids that are derived from hemp, like Delta-8, Delta-10, THCA. The legislature tried to prohibit those earlier in the year, and DeSantis, our governor, specifically vetoed that bill and sent a message to the hemp industry at the same time saying, I'm vetoing this bill, but I want you to get behind me in trying to oppose Amendment 3. So he has riled troops, so to speak, on the hemp side of the table to come out. And in fact, you'll see mobile billboards when you're driving down the street here on the way home from work that are supported by the hemp industry saying, vote no on Amendment 3. Obviously, that's because the people that are selling, you know, Delta 8 joints in gas stations and head shops in Florida are concerned that their business is going to be majorly impacted.
But that's also the part that people are going to get confused, is that people are trying to get, let's see what's being sold in these medical marijuana treatment centers. It's going to be dispensaries that will be adult use, with what's being had in head shops, vape shops, smoke shops, and the like. That's the hemp bill. That's part of the hemp bill where you have. And, you know, with Ford, I haven't gotten looked at and see about what they've done about enforcing the removal of Delta 8 or Delta 9 products or any other synthetic compounds out there, any other phytocannabinoids that are out there that are looking to go and get rid of. I mean, I can understand that there's any confusion among the public, but one of the things is that for, depending on which politics you look at, you know, now there's ads from Smart and Safe Florida that are showing that President Trump has given support, former President Donald Trump has given support towards the amendment because of how the medical marijuana market has done well in Florida. He told it on the Lex Fridman podcast. And then you look at with Governor DeSantis, I mean, he has big donors. Ken Griffin, who is doing a lot of building right now, and Broward and Miami-Dade counties are doing a lot of big buildings, a lot of businesses trying to bring basically that wall front, the Wall Street sector south into Florida because of how things happened with COVID. And because, you know, there's also interest by Big Pharma that's also been helping to support through Ken Griffin via to Governor DeSantis. That pressure right there is what's really been pushed out. But as we know before, once this amendment was passed, Amendment 2, back in 2016 for medical, he signed it. There was not much blowback on that at all. But what is it about this here that's causing more to this? Because then, you know, well, look at John Morgan, who's been always one of the most outspoken people when it comes to...
Right.
And of course, in the last 8 years, he's becoming like a national, you know, figure of attorneys. And he just said, you know, they made it so hard to get it on the ballot, made it to the Supreme Court, because they want to control the money. It's all about money. They want to control what they can dole out to their special interests. And that's what he says about that. But, I mean, for you, in your opinion, what would you say about the fact of how we have gotten to this point of the pushback that we're going to get? There was not so much here. Why is it adult use get so much pushback this time around?
Yeah, I mean, that would be pure speculation on my part. I do think that some of it has to do with a little bit of I'm trying to choose my words carefully. I will just say a bit of the headbutting between former President Trump and Ron DeSantis. So as soon as Trump came out, and we don't know what was behind the decision by Donald Trump to effectively tweet out, you should vote for Amendment 3, but he did it. I suspect that sent Governor DeSantis into an absolute tailspin. You know, what you hear publicly is it's going to smell in public, you know, concerns, of course, about people who are driving under the influence. And of course, that is a legitimate concern, and it'll be regulated like alcohol is regulated and people have to be kept off the roads. But what is really motivating that is not something truly that I could say, because candidly, the legislature arguably could still, in the governor's office, theoretically, could still control the money by legislating appropriately. But why this prohibitionist attitude, either, you know, I can't say for sure. It might be a matter of satisfying some of your constituents. It's something that's beyond me. I will tell you, though, that when Governor DeSantis was elected back in 2016, he came into office, he did have a very different sort of demeanor and attitude with respect to legal cannabis in Florida.
But for so far, I mean, there hasn't been enough. I mean, for the, here's the thing too, with the effort that's been put out there in advertising, it's so much different. $100 million that was put out by Smart and Safe Florida to campaign. I've seen their ads all over the place. You want local TV, digital advertising, billboards, it's been out there. So, I mean, they have.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Done the job of getting the word out there. The other thing that's got to be made a point, and also for those who are listening after the fact, you know, it doesn't help for voters when they look at things right now that on the ballot they also have for 2024 was abortion, Amendment 4, that is going to take much more of the headlines and much more of, you know, the ether of what's going on right now, of what's going to be important for state of Florida voters. They're going to not look at cannabis so much, because I think that was going to be looked by the wayside, that the abortion issue is overshadowing anything that cannabis has right now, which is where the timing is everything.
Yeah, the timing is obviously perfect. People are voting for Amendment 3 and Amendment 4 in Florida, which will effectively take from the legislature the right to prohibit a woman from getting an abortion after, you know, they want 6 weeks. And
I've never had a dispute neither here nor there. It's just a fact. Parallel issue that's going to get more headlines and more interest from voters than cannabis.
Yeah, if you turn on the TV down here, it's probably every single commercial, Amendment 4, then Amendment 3. The support for Amendment 3 is outspent and has been outfunded by the opposition. So certainly you're seeing more commercials that are pro-Amendment 3. However, I will say that, you know, Trulieve or even Zoo is probably safe in Spark, Florida, actually filed a lawsuit because of a defamation suit against the opponents of Amendment 3 for misleading ad campaigns. It's been very, very odd the way that they have chosen to oppose it. But yes, there's a lot more money behind Amendment 3. And so the vast majority of the ads that you're seeing, at least with respect to this initiative as opposed to the abortion initiative, have been pro.
I mean, for me, I guess what I'll say is we're both down here in South Florida, you know, and I look at where myself in West Palm Beach, I mean, I don't see anything of the effects that have made any issues for me to not think the cannabis as an industry didn't just find its way to go and blend itself into the market, took care of a lot of different storefronts. And they, you know, even when I go back to 2016, I think about the fact of when all the buildings were being built out, either they were standalone or they're being put together, and you know, you see new storefronts being taken over by these companies. I think they've done a pretty good job of not, you know, they haven't done anything to disrupt any business among either strip malls or other areas that they're at. I mean, I think they've done a pretty good job of, all the stores, I don't ever see the products out there to be seen. It's not like there's a full display out there. You still got to go inside from hidden windows to go inside and see the product. It's all within that. Again, the real contention to me is going to be where there has to be regulation in place for the synthetics that are being sold everywhere else. All the CBD products that are out there, that's going to be the issue. But that was always the issue for every state going through this right here.
And right. Amendment 3 doesn't change.
Identify which stores are which. You know which stores have cannabis and what they're doing. And, you know, every time I see a new spot come in, you know, I don't see any issues where there's nothing of any kind of loitering issues when you see these stores. Their hours of operation are within a definite, you know, regulated point. Everything is done, I feel like, by the book. Again, these are all corporate stores. They know what they're going to do, how they're going to provide their products. And, you know, they're all, again, against the medical. Whatever has to happen now is just the regulations that have to be put in place for how are you going to regulate in the adult use market. And I think taking those things of social equity and legacy operators and all the other areas that you can bring in that are to bring in mom and pops, that it would be much more for all these, for the Office of Cannabis Control, right?
Yeah.
When they're going through these, and I all the cannabis deal with 25 licensees right now and up to maybe 49, 50. It's easy to go and work through.
Which is one of the reasons why, you know, we fought to break up vertical integration early on and litigated that issue all the way to the Supreme Court. And I had always maintained that it's easier to regulate 25 entities than it is to regulate 250 entities. You are absolutely correct when you say that the licensed MMTCs in the state of Florida, the entities that are licensed to sell medical marijuana here, they take great care to make sure things are done properly and to make sure that they're done with thought and consideration to who are your patients, what are we, you know, we don't want to disturb the public, and they're highly regulated, let's be fair. So they obviously want to comply with advertising regulations, packaging regulations, things like that. But I would say in general, and I say this about the industry, and this is not Florida specific, I think that this industry knows that everybody is watching. And so it has been my experience that operators tend to want to do everything compliant and do it right. They don't want to have issues where people are getting sick. They don't want to have issues where they have regulatory violations on their hands. And the last thing in the world they want is something that would set the industry back another 30 years, and it wouldn't be very hard for that to happen. So I think people approach it sensibly and carefully. And like you said, Brasco, it's candidly the unregulated or lesser regulated, you know, hemp, sellers of hemp-derived cannabinoids that are intoxicants that, you know, are creating more of an issue. Because one thing that we can be rest assured, no matter what happens, it's going to be tightly regulated if Amendment 3 passes.
And at the moment, just to be clear for the audience out there, if you're not aware of what's being done in the state of Florida in terms of the rollout of the medical marijuana program that's been here for 8 years, you know, we know that there's strict regulations, okay? Operators have high fees, testing requirements, third-party testing, inventory tracking, and as you said, vertical integration, limited license system. I think it's worked very well for this market. It was the right thing to do for Florida. I really believe that. And, you know, all it really has happened is advocates want to get more access to more patients. And that's all it's really been. But now, once we get to adult use, what changes in those regulatory and legal challenges? Do you feel like there needs to be more strict regulations put in place now that adult comes in terms of not necessarily what they're doing from the cultivation or the dispensary side, but about the customers that are going to be able to go ahead and access the products now that they don't need a medical marijuana card?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, whether you believe that every medical marijuana patient in the state of Florida truly needs this as quote unquote medicine or not is really not the issue. The fact is that if Amendment 3 does pass, the market in the state of Florida is going to grow exponentially because you're going to have the 2 million or so citizens in the state of Florida who do not have medical cards, but yet still consume marijuana. They just, you know, are typically getting it through the illicit market and untested and unregulated products. But coupled with that, the tourism industry, right? How many people do we have that are visiting Florida over the holidays? And if these people can come here and legally go to a dispensary and buy cannabis, there are going to be ramifications, some good, some bad. I mean, not all of these people have homes, for example, where they can consume in the privacy of their home. They may be staying at a hotel. They may be staying at an Airbnb where, you know, you wouldn't be allowed to consume. So, you know, I do think that enforcement is going to have to be a priority. I think keeping people who are intoxicated by alcohol or cannabis or anything else off the roads has to be a priority. But the upside is that there will be hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of tax revenue that they do not have now because medical cannabis is not taxed in the state of Florida, that will be available to make sure that it's rolled out safely. Because at the end of the day, people are going to do what they want to do, whether the state of Florida says you could do it or whether a doctor says you qualify. At the end of the day, if you go to a college campus, I promise you, if you go to any fraternity house, there are going to be people there that, believe it or not, smoke marijuana. And, you know, being the parent of three children between the ages of 17 and 23, if I'm not going to be able to control what they're doing, I want to at least make sure that, you know, whatever they are doing is as safe as it could possibly be, meaning it's tested, meaning that it's you know, it is blessed by the state rather than putting yourself in a position where you have to resort to the illicit market. So you got the good side and of course the downside, like with everything else.
Perfect. And as I've mentioned here, you know, Florida is a very good model for those that want to go and be able to be part of this and just say, okay, you know, when we look at some of the issues that ongoing for like New York, New Jersey, or Illinois, and all these other areas, I got to keep talking about on a regular basis. Well, I just talked about the I-71 corridor once again with another dispensary owner there, a cultivator, and I'm like, oh my God, the mess they go through. But Florida is kind of like clean and easy. And for the governor, you know, listen, I think he's done quite a good job in terms of what he's done for the market. I hope he'll just go ahead and just let the regulators go and come in, sign it, go through a Ken Griffin, relax. Okay, buddy. You know, it's like the right people are being responsible in this market. And I think this transition should be pretty simple. And I think there was a lot of fear mongering out there to make people feel like, oh, this is like dangerous and all that. No, it's been here 8 years. I have heard nothing that makes me feel the contrary. That doesn't make me feel less confident about the idea of having adult use come here. I think the time where we didn't get a chance to go and vote in 2020 and waiting till now and letting this market mature as it has, I think it's worked best for that amendment to come in now. And I think it's going to pass no problem with the majority.
I hope so. I like to agree with you. I think that the market has matured. I think we've learned a lot. I think we've learned a lot even over the last year in connection with the efforts to reschedule from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3 on the federal level about the potential beneficial uses of marijuana and cannabis, which is something that for, you know, years and years and years you would never hear about. And I agree with you, Brasco, that the state of Florida is doing a good job of regulating it and that it's sort of it's not as complicated a market as perhaps other markets. But I will say the downside to that is that the social equity initiatives in the state of Florida are sort of a joke, for lack of a better word. There really are no social equity initiatives. There was a black farmer license that was given out. Candidly, that really does not benefit the minority community in any way, shape, or form. So if you're in a position like that, or if you're in a position where you don't have millions and millions of dollars, but yet, you know, this is an industry that you want to get into for whatever reason, is you're passionate about it, it may be difficult to get in the state of Florida. So you, like I said before, you take the good with the bad. I remain optimistic, like you, Brasco. I think it's going to pass. And hopefully, you know, the state, rather than pushing back, will just, you know, do its best to regulate it smartly and responsibly.
I would be hard-pressed to think that it didn't pass by the time people get to listen to this interview. But I mean, we're going to have people to get the chance to hear this before Election Day. But I think for those listening after the fact, I think, for me, I really feel like we went through the talking about what's going to happen next, because I think we are going to get to see a passage. So I'm going to go with that, and I will be steadfast on it. Thank you again for being on with me once again, Jonathan Robbins, who is with the cannabis practice at Ackerman. And
it's my pleasure, as always.
Real quickly, let's go ahead and direct people to the website, akerman.com. Actually, Ackerman just being named among the most prestigious U.S. law firms by Law 360 Pulse. Take a minute to go talk to our listeners about why they should be contacting you, okay?
Sure. Absolutely. And thank you for that opportunity. What I'll say is this. We have an extremely well-seasoned team. We were the very first law firm, national law firm, to launch a dedicated cannabis practice. And so we have been doing this for a number of years. Not just in Florida, California, and Chicago, and New York, and Vegas, and Colorado, of course,
And we don't only represent people who are in the industry. We represent anybody who the industry touches. And that could be a landlord who may be thinking about leasing a space to a cannabis company. It could be a bank. It could be a private equity group. It could be a seed-to-sale tracking software company. So at some point, whatever your business is, I would imagine something will come up where you have to address the issue of cannabis in some shape or another. And it's like a minefield out there. It doesn't have to be me or my law firm. It could be any really good professional. But what I tell people in the industry all the time is that you need to work with good professionals. I mean, accountants and attorneys, because otherwise you could find yourself in a very, very tough situation in this business. And thank you for the opportunity, Brasco. Much appreciated.
Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and check out all the exciting new ways you can make this pro football season unforgettable. Shoot your shot with same-game parlays. Call your plays like a pro with live betting. Or bet on a market you didn't know existed thanks to BetMGM Originals. You'll be on the edge of your seat from the very first snap, no matter what type of fan you are. Earn BetMGM rewards points on every bet. Take advantage of football offers found nowhere else, like a second chance on a first touchdown bet. And keep an eye out for rewards dropping in your account throughout the season. Never settle for the ordinary. Sign up today. BetMGM. Make it legendary.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Specific promotional offers are not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.